This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
It's my pleasure to welcome Nick Adams. He is the founder and executive director of FLAG, and he will tell you what that acronym means in just a moment. He's a columnist for townhall.com, a former Centennial Institute policy fellow, author of the best-selling book, The American Boomerang, How the World's Greatest Turnaround Nation Will Do It Again, and author of the new books, Green Card Warrior, My Quest for Legal Immigration in an Illegal System, and Retaking America, Crushing Political Correctness. Nick, welcome. How are you?
G'day, Jason. It's great to be with you, sir.
It's good to have you with us. And where are you located?
I'm located in the great state that is Texas, the state that is known for the belt buckle and the pickup truck and chicken fried steak and bluebell ice cream and all those other wonderful capitalist things.
There you go. And we can tell by your accent that you are an immigrant from down under, right?
From South Texas, that's right.
How...
Very, very deep south, yes. Australia. You got it. You got it in one.
Fantastic, Australia. Good stuff. Well, everybody wants to know, you know, how will Trump affect the economy? What does it mean? What action, if any, should people take with their investments and their thinking and their businesses and so forth? And when did you write the American Boomerang book? What is the publication date for that?
Well, Jason, in 2014, The American Boomerang, How the World's Greatest Turnaround Nation, was published with a foreword by Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. And it essentially dealt with what I believed needed to happen for an American renaissance, for a constitutional, patriotic revival of the United States, which I, unlike many others, considered to be only 5 minutes away at any given time because of the spirit and the mentality that Americans have, a very unique and exceptional one. And it was a book outlining my 10-point plan for the United States to undertake such a renaissance. And that involved ending the waste, paying back the debt, limiting the government, axing political correctness, protecting the borders, preserving Judeo-Christian traditions, ending the culture of entitlement, cutting taxes, exercising fidelity to the Constitution, and keeping the peace through unquestioned military advantage. And all of those things are not just things that can be done necessarily at the ballot box or by government policy, but I think a lot of the ailments affecting the greatest country in the history of the world have been cultural ones, which is why I've been thrilled to see that in recent times, at least at the ballot box, which is the first step, Americans have kind of taken a step toward those 10 things outlined in the American Boomerang.
So do you think Trump represents all 10 of those things? Or maybe I should ask you more broadly, the last election in general?
Well, you know, Jason, I came out for Donald Trump on the 15th of June 2015. The 16th of June 2015, which was when he announced. I was on the Trump train from day one. I read The Art of the Deal when I was 11 years old. And that book really shaped my life and my career. And so when he announced, while he didn't best represent, I guess, my conservative ideology, I was instantly supporting him and was very public with my support, with my commentating on Fox News and elsewhere. And I think that he most certainly represents a very significant part of that 10-point plan. You know, Jason, I got into this game to change the culture, and because culture is far more important than politics. and culture trumps politics, pardon the pun. But I think that the best person to really impact the culture in America and right around the world is Donald Trump, because he transcends politics in many ways. And that's why I supported him from the get-go, and that's why I am very optimistic that he is really going to adopt many of those points that I included in my 10-point plan for the United States, because I think he's someone that wants to restore pride in the United States. I think he's someone that wants to restore self-belief, that wants to restore logic and common sense, that doesn't want to see the entitlement state and all of these other politically correct ideologies take any more greater root than what they already have. And so I think the 8th of November was a good day for America, and I think that everyone is going to benefit from it. I think he's going to make America a more prosperous place. I think he's going to make it a more American place, if that makes sense. You know, when I think about the United States, Jason, and before I was an immigrant, I was a lifelong admirer from the age of 7 or 8 years old. I used to go and tell people I want to go to America, and people thought I was crazy. But, you know, I'm not the only one. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stuart Varney, there's so many, Elon Musk, there's so many of us that are born practically burning for the United States, almost inexplicably. But it's something about the optimism. It's something about having the chance to fail. It's something about the energy that exists. There's a culture of risk, and there's a reward for risk. And I guess when you come from a risk-averse culture like England or Australia or anywhere in Europe, you really just find the United States an amazing place. And I think that Donald Trump is going to preside over a far more, a return, I guess, to a far more American America than what we've seen in the last few years. I think we're going to see incentive rewarded. I think we're going to see hustle and risk reemerge, people coloring outside of the lines.
I agree. I agree with all that. The one thing you didn't mention about the, you know, the comparison of America to other countries is you didn't mention the, I guess what I'll call the tall poppy syndrome, and you probably know what I mean by that, where achievement in, say, Scandinavian countries, in Europe in general, especially Western Europe that's become so socialist, in Australia, New Zealand, you know, I mean, I've been to 80 countries now. I'm a big traveler, so I have some familiarity in being born in Europe myself. You know, this kind of idea that you shouldn't stand out, that you shouldn't be exceptional, and America rewards that. Oh, well, at least that used to be the culture in America. You know? Under Obama, that certainly shifted for the worse, I thought. But I think that's going to become, it's going to come back into vogue with a Trump administration. You know, so I'd like you to maybe just add to your comments with a tall poppy syndrome idea, and, you know, if you notice that living outside of America.
Oh, without a doubt. Look, the single most powerful reason that I left Australia is because, while you're right, it does happen just about everywhere else, this tall poppy syndrome. Australia, I think, is, and it's not just my opinion, right? Anyone who does extensive reading on it will tell you the same thing. Australia is known as the worst proponent of the tall poppy syndrome, and it's why almost every single famous Australian that any of your listeners would be familiar with don't live, Jason, in Australia. They live in America. And that's because this is the only country in the world where success is not resented. And I should point out that the tall poppy syndrome, obviously that's an analogy for successful people, that it's a cut down to size so that they match with all the other poppies. I should mention that one of the fallacies associated with the tall poppy syndrome is that it extends merely to successful people. It certainly includes successful people, but it also includes anybody that does things differently, anybody that is outspoken, anybody that has confidence, essentially, anyone that applies a different approach, anyone that tries to blaze a trail or leave a legacy or differentiate themselves, I guess, in any way, even if it's unsuccessful, even if it doesn't bring financial success. That's all part of the tall poppy syndrome, where if you do all of those things in any other country, you're targeted. You become a target for the media, for the culture, for your neighbours, and for everything else. It was Greg Norman, who, another one of my great heroes and mentors, obviously a famous golfer, but in the last 20 or so years, an incredible businessman with wines, with clothing apparel, designing golf courses and everything else. And he said in his book, something that always stayed with me when I was a teenager when I read it, he said that the difference between Australia and America can be summed up like this. An American teenager is going home from school, sees a bright red Ferrari in his neighborhood street, stops and says, "Wow, I want to get myself one of those. I want to work as hard as I got to work and do whatever I got to do to get me one of those." An Australian teenager in precisely the same situation, going home from school, through his neighborhood street, sees a bright red Ferrari. What does he do? Gets out his key and scratches it.
Wow, that's really sad. But you know, I mean, just on balance though, let's address some of the criticisms of some of the stuff you said earlier. I don't want to go into the material side of it that much, because anybody who believes that material resources and financial resources aren't important is just immature. Okay, just grow up. If you think that and you're listening to this, you're just really immature. Sorry, that's just the reality of it. It's not everything, but it is something. It is something. Okay. So assuming we've moved past that, what do you say to the critics of, you know, this kind of like American exceptionalism idea, though? A lot of people would view some of the stuff you said as racist, as improper, as, boasting. You know, there's all kinds of criticism out there of this type of belief system, isn't there?
It most certainly is, Jason, and I encounter it all the time. I've been subject to leftist opprobrium precisely for that reason. Look, there are four ways that a nation is said to be exceptional: culturally, militarily, economically, and scientifically. And on each of those four measurements, in almost 5,000 years of recorded human history, we have never ever seen a country, a culture, or a people like the American culture, national people. No nation has ever dominated to the extent that America has, from the industrial age, the agricultural age, and now the information age. America has been at the forefront of all of those things. And everything that we use every single day, whether it's a GPS, whether it's the internet, whether it's emails, whether we catch a flight, whether we hop in a car, all of those things, whether we eat too much and someone has to perform the Heimlich maneuver, I mean, all of these things come from American ingenuity and innovation. And it's not an accident. American exceptionalism is not only provable, eminently so, but it's not accidental either. It came because the most prescient men to have ever walked this earth, the founders of the United States, understood that the way to unleash human capital, the way to unleash human ingenuity and creativity, was to make sure that men and women were as unencumbered as possible by government red tape, the need for government approvals, and the like. And that's why we've seen America essentially shape the modern world that we live in today. And the other point of difference, Jason, with America and the rest of the world is that America is the only country that's not just a country. It is an idea. It is an ideal. It is a notion, an improbable and daring experiment. And for that reason, America attracts, you know, there's a certain amount of feeling and emotion you can have toward a culture and a fellow person, but you can really have a visceral, fierce, fevered hatred of an idea. And that's why America attracts such intense emotion, both love and hate. But look, America is the world's exceptional nation. If you took away America, you know, you'd have North Korea invading South Korea, you'd have Taiwan being overrun by China, you'd have Russia rebuilding the Soviet Empire, you'd have Islamic terrorists.
Well, as Dinesh D'Souza says, imagine a world without her.
Exactly.
That's good. Very good point. Okay, so when it comes to the boomerang, talk to us a little bit more about the economic side of that, if you would. I know our time is limited, of course, but I want to make sure we touch on some of the economic issues here. And it does seem that Trump is very bullish for business. I mean, I'm sure you'd agree with that, but you know, just any distinctions you want to make or drilling down on that.
Well, look, I think that Donald Trump is going to be a boon for big business, for small business, and everyone in between. I think that he is going to really make people feel very comfortable about investing, about taking a risk. You know, I think all of that is going to happen without a shadow of a doubt. And that's a good thing, because we need people to be confident. We need the economy to be roaring as much as it possibly can be. So I'm very optimistic that he's going to do the things that need to be done. I think he's going to cut taxes. I think that he is going to really attack the debt, which is very, very important. I think he's going to avoid liberal math, Jason. And I think there are five things that America's got to do to economically boomerang. Because right now, America's got more problems than a math book. Because just consider this. If you started a business the day that Jesus was born and lost $1 million every year, you'd still be in better financial shape than the American government.
So really scary.
So it is. So the American economy is in real trouble. But there's good news. America's economic failings are largely policy failings, and policy failings can always be fixed. Liberal math has led to economic weakness. So what needs to happen? There needs to be, Jason, a consensus-inspiring economic plan that Americans unite behind to avoid it. And it's not a very intricate plan either. I mean, I think it's a very simple five-step plan. We've got to cut taxes. There should be a limit on tax liability. The Economic Recovery Tax Act of 1981, championed by then-President Ronald Reagan, dropped inflation, unemployment, and interest rates massively. I think we've got to cut red tape and green tape and deregulate. I think we've got to stop spending so much money. I think we need to repatriate the almost $3 trillion held by American corporations overseas by waiving the 35% tax rate and getting that money back into the economy with those corporations hiring workers and purchasing equipment. I think we need to exploit energy resources even more. If Donald Trump can get behind any of those five, and I have a feeling he's going to get behind all five, then America is in for an even better time than the Reagan days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's the roaring 80s. But liberals love to criticize the roaring 80s. I remember years ago seeing Bryant Gumbel, the leftist news anchor from the Today Show, criticizing he called it the greedy excesses of the Reagan era. And I thought, look at this hypocrite and all the millions of dollars he makes every year. It is mind-boggling the way Hollywood treats the other side of the aisle. You know, the right, the political right. It's just so hypocritical to me. They do everything they do is opposed to what they say. You know, it's this do as I say, not as I do mentality. It's pretty ridiculous, and it's surprising how many people don't see through that. But it's going to be interesting, and I've certainly been a critic of Trump enough. My listeners have heard it on the show, although I'm glad the criminal known as Hillary Clinton didn't win. I'll tell you that much. The thing about Trump that I think is going to be fascinating and potentially just awesome is that he has spent his entire life living in the real world, in the results economy, whereas these politicians that we've had running the government for the better part of five decades, if not longer, I mean, I just don't know my history well enough to go back further than that. These career politicians, they don't understand what it's like to produce results and to be on the hook for things. You know, everything is a bureaucracy and a committee and just an absurd kind of way of thinking. I mean, it's pretty exciting that stuff could really get done here. I mean, things could really happen. And I think, you know, there could be some real movement, a real change in our government for the better.
Absolutely. No, I think all of that's going to happen. Jason, I think that America's in for a good time, at least for the next 4 years and potentially eight. I think he's got the makings of an incredible president. And provided that things go his way and you know, there's always a little bit of luck involved, but provided he stays the course and some things go his way, I think we're going to be talking about a historic presidency.
Well, Nick, it is going to be fascinating to watch, that is for sure, and I'm looking forward to diving in and seeing what happens after January 20th. Give out your website and tell people where they can find out more about you and your books and so forth.
Well, that's very nice of you, Jason. Look, I'd encourage all of your listeners, if you enjoyed listening to this interview, to please go onto the website flagusa.org.
Oh, and tell us what FLAG stands for, by the way.
So FLAG is the Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. It's a great name, so I'll say it again for you. The Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. And it's a non-profit organization. It's the only organized fighting force against anti-Americanism in the culture. So we are committed to stopping the defamation of the American people, nation, and culture. We're an educational nonprofit. We go into as many elementary, middle, and high schools as we can, talking to kids about what makes America different, what makes it special, why is the Constitution the best political document ever written. We also serve as a media strike force team. So whenever America is libeled in the media, we make sure that we have a guest on all of the major networks, hitting back and countering with truth about the United States. So we are all about presiding over a conservative, patriotic revolution that will secure the American dream for another 200 years at least. We are filling the only vacuum that exists. The gallant men and women of the U.S. military have got our backs everywhere except the culture. And I think it's our responsibility to stand up and protect America in the culture. If you said 1/16 of the things that are said about America and Americans about any other country or people, you'd be hauled over the hot coals of every anti-discrimination commission and a human rights tribunal you could poke a stick at. But if you come out and say that America's oppressive and a terrorist and misogynistic and racist, the culture rewards you. It's a moral inversion of the worst kind, and flagusa.org, a 501c3 nonprofit, is committed to changing that culture.
Fantastic. Well, Nick Adams, thank you so much for joining us today, and we're going to look forward to a very, very interesting and fascinating 4 years of a Trump administration. So thank you for sharing some of your thoughts about it with us, and we appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you, Jason. Never been a better time to be an American.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, HartmanMedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.